John 4, verse 35. And hope to show you a few things here because there's such a need today. We looked at the Lord's Supper there and saw what He went through. And yet, you know, our faith never becomes real unless we step out in faith. You know, and here it says in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And Jesus is, you know, He's saying this, and He's seeing things that His followers are not seeing. He's seeing, you know, when we get into the mind of Christ, and we see things as He sees them, we see souls, amen, eternal souls. And we don't fully understand that. We look through a glass darkly. We don't fully understand that. But when you get into the mind of Christ, you see souls, not people, amen. If we could just understand that. Let me give you an introduction. A biblical church needs to have 3 things in it. Right book. Psalms 12 says that the word of the Lord is pure and is purified 7 times, and it says, "Thou shalt preserve it." So He's preserved His word, amen. Most churches have, like Bible-believing churches have that right. Then it's right worship. Psalms 40, verse 1 and 3 talks about the fact that He's put a new song in our hearts, amen. Not like the old stuff, the old music, not like that. And He's put a new song in our heart, but there's one other part to that. It's right focus. Let's go to John chapter 12 now. John chapter 12. Right focus is very important because right focus gives you an understanding of what motivated Jesus. John chapter 12 and verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Amen. He had only one purpose for coming to this world. That was to die on that old rugged cross. Amen. Amazing, amazing story. Just like 3 legs of a stool, there's 3 things we have to get right. Right focus. The focus of a church is all important. Now, some churches, they're there to please you, aren't they? They're emotional and they're exciting, and it's all about pleasing the people. Pleasing the people. Big churches. But then there's other churches, and it's all about pleasing the Lord, amen? And we need to be that kind of a church where we please the Lord and we fulfill the Great Commission. Let's go to Matthew 28 now. A lot of times, churches forget about the Great Commission. And it's tragic. Because as a church, when you forget about the Great Commission, you will die. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of this world." The last part of that verse, "Lo, I'm with you always, always, even unto the end of the world," that was David Livingstone's favorite verse, or favorite part of Scripture. That was his life verse right there. Not the full thing, but just the small portion of it. A church that is only focused inwardly dies, such as the case of many churches in this day and age. Churches that focus inwardly will die. In the case of individual believers, our memory verse in Carrigaline is Proverbs 11:30. In the case of individual believers, if I only focus on my needs, I miss the life-changing message of this book. Let's go to Proverbs now 11. Proverbs chapter 11. The life-changing message of this book. See, everybody needs to be a part of missions. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, it's wise in a sense, you're wise because God will reward you one day, but you're wise as well because you know what happens when you go forth and you try knock on doors, you try doing something for the Lord, you forget about your own burdens and cares. You forget about those things that are troubling you, and you see the burden of the person standing behind that door. Amen? You look into the white of their eye, and you see where they're at, and you go, man, I have the answer. I just need to get it across to them. It's an amazing story. What is missions all about? Missions is about that picture, right there. And you might think that picture means nothing to you, but it means everything to me. Everything to me. Let me tell you a little story about that picture. It is personal. You know, missions is personal. You got to get that understanding. It is personal. You see, in Tennessee, a young lad was born into this world. In early 1950s, he got saved in a Sunday school. He was burdened to do something. He was called to preach. He went to a school called Liberty University. I know it's not a good school, but it was back then. This was before Falwell and all that stuff. But he was called to preach. And he got a burden about New York City. And see, the thing that amazes me about that picture is I am the result of his burden. Amen? That's how missions works. It's a story about Thorn Row in the Bronx where I got saved. I trusted Jesus my Savior. That street is precious to me because that's the place where I got saved. Right across the road on the other side of the road. I couldn't get a picture, but on the other side of the road, that's where I got saved. But that's what salvation is. And when you realize that someone ventured their life for the cause of Christ, someone did something and went out there and tried to do something, and someone had a burden of New York City, that's where I got in on it. Amen? That's precious. The cycle of missions continues as we catch a burden for souls. Amen? As I caught that burden for souls, I came over here, and then if I fast forward the tape, when we're down in Carrigaline, hopefully in the near future, hopefully we can take on a missionary. Amen? We can support our own missionary because we get the burden for souls, and that's how mission works. Missions is a cycle. It goes from one church to another church, and it is powerful. It is wonderful. Missions is a reason for our existence so that we could tell people about Jesus. Amen? Missions is the heartbeat of God. Do you really believe that? Amen. Missions is the heartbeat of God. Do you really believe that missions is the lifeblood of the church? Most churches, they say they do, but they don't. Most churches... Let me show you this. These are some quotes about some missionaries. And this is just floored me when I first read this. God had an only son, and he was a missionary. A poor, poor example of him I am. But in the work I now live, and in this work I wish to die. David Livingstone. I mean, can you catch his burden for souls? Can you catch that outward focus? This is good. Not called, didn't you say? Not heard the call? I think you should say, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Think about that for a second. See, we think we're not called, but if you listen to the heartbeat of Christ, the mind of Christ, you realize that everyone is called, amen? Not just a pastor or a missionary. Every single individual who's ever trusted Jesus Christ is called to go out there, amen? It's called to go out there. Brother, if you would enter the province, you must go forward on your knees. Hudson Taylor. See, these men, these old men of God, they knew, and they knew the power of God, and they knew the value of missions. I love this. William Carey, all my friends are but one, but he is all sufficient. I wonder who he's talking about. The friend that sticks closer than your brother. Amen? Church that does not evangelize will fossilize. Oscar Smith. I love this. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. Hudson Taylor. That's what missions is all about. That's what missions, and missions is so important. The average church model, I just made this up. You know, most churches they might have their missions, and that's good. They might have their missions, and that's their outward focus. But mostly, they're focusing inwardly. Mostly, they're focusing inwardly. And I kind of know that from contacting pastors and seeing their response. Mostly they're focusing inwardly. Believers edified, disciple of believers, taught the Word of God, increased in knowledge, bodies edified, and according to Ephesians 4:11-12, that is all good. But you know what? The church grows somewhat, but missions is the only outward focus of the church. I believe that's wrong. Let me tell you what a biblical view is. I believe it's that. Every area of ministry is outward, amen? The reason why you're edified, the reason why you're built up, why you hear the preaching of the Word of God, is so that you can go out there, amen, and tell people about Jesus Christ. Outward focus. I believe every area of our lives. You know, you wonder at times, how can someone leave, go away from church? How can someone have the burden of souls? How can someone that is a child of God, how can they leave church? I mean, you wonder. And the only thing you can think of, I'm glad to see the teens sitting on the front row. But the tragedy is when a lot of teenagers turn 18, 19, they're gone. And you know what I think the problem is? They never catch a burden for souls. Teenagers never catch a burden for souls. Because we first-generation Christians, we get that burden, but it's never passed on to our kids. And when they're 18, 19, they're gone. You know, the burden for souls, the outward focus, gets the focus off of yourself. Amen? And you don't see yourself as anything, because you see what's going on in people's lives. And it should break you. Amen? It should break you. The Great Commission has to be, and the church grows because of obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. And I'm skipping a bit here, but what is the real difference? Every ministry is outward in focus. From preaching to Sunday school. I mean, think about it. Sunday school kids should be learning about lost lives, the dysfunctional lives that's out there. Sunday school kids should have some idea of their responsibility to do something in this world. Amen? The reason we build up on the most holy faith is so that we can impact this world for Christ. Let's go to Jude chapter 1 now. Jude chapter 1. Right at the end of the Bible, just before Revelation, one chapter called Jude. I want you to see connection here in Jude chapter 1 verse 20. But ye beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So why do you build up yourself in the most holy faith? Why do you keep yourself in the love of God? Because of 22 and 23. It says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. So that we can make a difference in this world, amen? And 23, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So that we can make a difference in this world, amen? That's why we're built up. That's why we're edified. Not so that we can attain knowledge, so that we can do something in this world, amen? God will bless obedience to His Word regardless of us seeing any results. Do you know how many people I've ever had come from knocking on doors in Carrigaline? I'm thankful as well for Barry going there every Saturday helping me out. I'm thankful for that, Barry. But do you know how many people I've actually had come? I've only had one ever come to a Wednesday night Bible study. Only one. But you know the Lord blesses other ways. He wants us to be obedient. The Bible says in Luke 14:23, it says, compel them. It says, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But He blesses other ways. We're just there to do our duty, amen? We're there to be obedient unto the Great Commission. Church grows, occurs based on obedience to the Word of God. And I was skip that part. An inward focus always leads to problems. You know, you can look at churches if they're inwardly focusing. As you as an individual, if you're inwardly focusing, you're never going to be happy. But when you get to focus off of yourself and you look at a lost and dying world out there, then you can find the joy of the Lord like you've never experienced before. And you can find a place where you realize God will use you in this world. You know, God God doesn't need articulates or anything like that. All the Lord needs is a broken heart, amen. Someone that looks at a person at the other side of the door and said, and just has that burden in their heart to do something, amen. The guy that witnessed to me, Philip Campbell, it wasn't so much the words he said, it was the burden. I could tell it was burden for me. I could tell that this man, when he talked about the Lord, he knew the Lord. And it was a personal walk he had with the Lord. I could tell, as an unsaved man, I could tell that this man was walking with the Lord. There was something about it. And there was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just convicted my heart. When Jesus in the New Testament saw the people, he was moved with compassion. We ought to be moved with compassion. We ought to be moved with compassion. Now let me give you what his mission is all about. It's about that. But finding your comfort zone, then leave it. It's about leaving your comfort zone. Let's look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and verses 25. Matthew 14, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now, we look at this and we normally focus on Peter, okay? We normally focus on Peter. But that boat represented their security. What about the rest of the people in that boat? Now, Peter steps out of the boat. Peter steps on water. But couldn't the Lord handle it if they all wanted to step out of that boat? Couldn't the Lord handle it if everybody in that boat said, "Lord, let me come to thee"? You know, so many of us are we're in that boat. And we've never stepped out of our comfort zone. Never have. I even look at my own life. I look at my neighbors. You know, I really haven't stepped out the way I should step out from my comfort zone. I really haven't. And that's the problem. Why are the laborers few today? Because we're all in that boat. We're comfortable in that boat. You see, when you get on that waters, it's not like a straight path. It's the waves, amen? The waves are going over and like that. It's looking unto Jesus. It takes faith, amen? No, few of us are willing to do that. But the great missionaries of long ago who changed this world upside down, they were willing to do that, amen? They changed this world. They did it because they loved Jesus, amen? We're comfortable in that in our surroundings. If Jesus had to leave his comfort zone, shouldn't we leave our comfort zone? Think about it. Jesus left heaven. He left the oneness with the Father. He left the glory and splendor of heaven, came to this earth, became a man, and died at that old rugged cross. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Shouldn't we do the same? Isn't that what a disciple does? A disciple follows their Lord. Isn't that a cause greater than our existence? What's going to matter when it comes to eternity? Nothing's going to matter. It's just precious souls out there. What we could have done for Jesus in this life. When you leave your comfort zone, you find a place of real blessings. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 now. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews. I love this scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus saith, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gates. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Do you know how you got saved? You stepped outside the camp. Do you understand that? You stepped outside religion. You stepped outside your security. And you came to Jesus as a humble, broken sinner. And he saved you, amen. Do you know how we get used of the Lord in this life? You step outside your security, you step outside your comfort zone, and you go to Jesus, amen. You walk by faith. And God will use you in a mighty way. God doesn't need people with all the knowledge of Scripture. God needs brokenness, a willingness to go. People who are willing to leave behind that security and go and step out by faith. That's what God needs, amen. Now let me say another thing. It's about teamwork. Mission work is about teamwork. You know, nobody can do it on their own. That's why I'm glad. I'm so thankful for having a church like this. It's a lot easier. If I didn't have this church, honestly, maybe the Lord could do it some other way. But the way I see it, you've got to have teamwork. Amen? You've got to have teamwork. Jesus sent them out by twos. Amen? The Lord always provides the needs. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And I'm watching your time. Exodus 31. You know, here in Exodus 31, God is telling Moses about the tabernacle, about all the stuff you're going to need. And I'm sure Moses' head is probably spinning with all the stuff, all the detail. You know, the brazen altar, all the different the measurements and all that. But the Lord, you know, when you step out and when you start a church, it can be overwhelming. Because there's so much to actually get used of. But the Lord always sends people your way. Notice what it says in chapter 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge in all manner of workmanship. And it goes on there to verse 6. And I, behold, I have given him with Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So the Lord doesn't put Moses and say, here you are, Moses, you need to do all this. No, the Lord provides people, amen. I've seen it. I've seen it myself. When you start a church, the Lord brings people in, and they're exactly what you need. They're exactly what you need. Because the Lord believes in teamwork, amen. It's no, you know, let me tell you the process of a soul getting converted. There's a plowing. Now, in the plowing, you're not going to see anything. You're just plowing the ground so that ground can become useful for seed to go into it. Then there's the watering. Then there's the sowing. And then there's the reaping. It's a process, isn't it? I'm glad that someone gave me a track. I'm glad that someone gave me another track and another track and another track because, you know, somehow the heart of man is hard. There's a sinful, wretched nature in there, and we need a lot of tracks. We need a lot of gospel outreach just to reach one soul. Amen? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It's not just, you didn't get saved the first time you heard the gospel. You got saved several times after you hearing the gospel. But it's God that giveth the increase. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 3. It is God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. Just want to look at one or two verses here for the sake of time. There in verse 5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Amen? You know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be no boasting. Amen? It was a process. Nobody can take the glory but God. Amen? Nobody can take the glory but God. No flesh will glory in His presence. Amen? It's God that gives the increase. Church planter, you need teamwork. You need effort. You need people praying for the ministry. And honestly, I appreciate people who pray for the ministry because prayer is a big, big part of it. Just, you know, when you pray for Bible Baptist Church of Carrigaline, man, that means everything to me. Just keep praying about Bible Baptist Church of Carrigaline because that's how God works, amen? He works through prayer. So many hands can make light work, amen? God is able to put a team together. And it's so important to realize that it's teamwork. Just like those ants. You know, they do the impossible because they're a team. And we can do the impossible if we really are a team. If our hearts are knit together in love. Amen? Let me say number three. It's about stretching your faith, our faith. And this is a picture of a little man here. And there's a big hand. You know who that big hand is? That's God. The Lord is able to catch you. Amen? And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. It says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Woo! That verse means everything to me because I found it to be true in my life. I found it to be true. I found that every time I thought it was going to crash, or every time I was going to mess up, I found the Lord's always there. Amen? Even when I make mistakes, the Lord is still there because He's wonderful. Amen? Real faith always reaches beyond your own capability. Now that's something I'm learning. Real faith is always just beyond you. You know, when it comes to taking on missionaries, when it comes to what all the Lord lays upon you, it's always just a little bit beyond you. That's where the Lord works it, amen? If we really believe in missions is the lifeblood of the church, then we'd have to really understand we have to stretch our faith. Now, what I personally observed from ringing up pastors is they usually want to say is there's a recession going on and we're cutting our mission funds. I'm going, I never said this, but I felt like saying this. But if you really believe that missions is the lifeblood of the church, how could you cut your life support, your lifeblood? How could you do that? If you really believe that missions is the lifeblood of the church. I've never said that, but I felt like, and I know churches go through times where there's a lot of pressure on them and things like that, but there's got to be that outward focus, because I believe the Lord will provide the needs. Missions is what makes churches grow. We think missions is usually the average pastor that I ring up, they think missions is a burden. It's him again. Missions is a burden, but missions is actually what makes churches grow. It is the instrument He uses to fulfill the Great Commission. It is the heartbeat of God becoming the heartbeat of the church. I hope you get that. It's the heartbeat of God becoming the heartbeat of this church. That's what missions is. And for the missionary, God's provision is there for the missionary. I mean, don't ever feel sorry for me. God's looking after me wonderfully. Amen. And my family, God has been wonderful to me. I couldn't tell you all the stories. Hudson Taylor said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision or God's supply. And let me just tell you one example how God looked after me one time. I was coming back from Arklow, and I was about 5 or 6 miles away from Arklow after a deputation in Arklow, and I stopped off to give the girls and Luke a treat. And as I was going around to the back of the car, I remember hearing the whistling sound of air coming out of the tire. Now, I didn't have a spare. I'm going, what an idiot. I didn't get a spare. And I'm going, man, I'm going to have to tell Eileen. She's not going to be happy. We're stuck out here. And anyway, we get into the car. I tell Eileen, and she's okay about it. What we decide to do is we're going to drive, and we're going to fill up every purchase station. Everywhere there's a pump, where there's air, we're going to fill it up. And honestly, we're doing this, and we're going, we fill up 35 pounds of pressure, and by 5 or 6 miles later, it's about 15 pounds of pressure. And as I'm doing this, I'm saying, this is, you know, we're going to have to stay here. I'm going to have to send for Weston or someone to come down to let the kids and me stay in the car. I don't know what to do. But I'm not spiritual at that moment. I'm definitely not spiritual. And anyway, just show you how we got home that night. We stop off at 4 or 5 different petrol stations and fill up. And then we come to the Waterford bypass. And that's about 5 or 6 miles. I'm thinking there's no way we can get through that. So we fill up the tire with air one last time before we get on the Waterford bypass. And for some reason, even though I'm not very spiritual, I think it was Eileen said to me, maybe we should pray. I go, okay, let's pray. But for all the time I'm thinking, how to get us home? How to get us home? We fill that tire up with air. And I'm driving on the Waterford bypass. And I'm expecting the vibration to set in, you know, as the tire goes down to about 15 pounds of pressure. But it never does. It never does. And we get to the end of the Waterford bypass. And the tire's rock hard. We get all the way home. The tire's rock hard. And I'm like, God? Is that you? Because I'm like, I wasn't even spiritual. I wasn't even praying. I was as fleshly as could be. And God was good to me, amen? And that's what's so wonderful with the Lord. That's what's so wonderful is by stepping out in faith. Because when you step out in faith, God is with you all the way. And God will, wherever you're not the brightest in, God will make up, amen? God is wonderful. Let me say very quickly, it's about the value of a soul. Mission is about the value of a soul. You know, Mark, let's go to Mark 8:35. A few more minutes, I'll be finished. Mark 8:35. I wonder if we really can understand the value of a soul. Because the thing about it is, there's nothing to compare it to. Mark 8 in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then he said something very, very profound. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give? The problem with that statement is there is nothing you can compare the price of a soul to. Nothing. 1 ounce of gold, $930. What if you had all the gold in the world? Would it even compare to one eternal soul? Not even. Not even. Yet we talk to souls all the time. The most expensive diamond in the world, the Graff Pink, it sold at $46 million in 2008. But you know, money, materialism, all the wealth in the world, it means nothing in the comparison to one soul. Because there's nothing you compare it to. Everything is temporal. Everything will, like the second law of thermodynamics, everything corrodes. It all falls apart. But God wants to show us the value of just one soul. Nothing you can compare it to. And just finally, it's about going. See, we all like to talk about missions and evangelism, but where the rubber meets the road is when we go. Amen? Let me give you just a quick illustration about fishing. When I was growing up as a kid, my brother was hugely into fishing. Hugely into fishing. I knew about fly fishing. I knew about salmon fishing. You know, when you cast the rod, there's a skill in that, isn't there? There's a skill. I learned all about that. I learned all about the flies. You know, certain flies you use in wet climates, and all the different flies, all the different, the salmon fishing, about putting tree worms on a hook and all that kind of stuff. I knew all about fishing. But you know what? You can know all about stuff. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but it means nothing unless you go. Amen? It means nothing. It means nothing. In fact, you lose it. What good is knowledge unless you're willing to put it to action? What good is faith unless you're willing for it to be tested? Amen? And what good is our very Christian existence unless we're willing to care about souls? Concern about souls. The soul that's in it, it shall die. And we're not talking about it, the death, we're talking about eternal death, forever and ever and ever and ever in a lake of fire. Eternal death, the value of a soul, it's about going. Going has always involved personal sacrifice. But you know what? If you want to be more like Christ, the Bible says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection, being made conformable to his sufferings. Amen? It's about following him. Amen? Going is the duty required to every Christian who believes in the literal interpretation of that book. Amen? It is a duty. It's not something that is for some and it's not for others. It's for every single individual. Amen? If you've ever been touched by the love of Christ, it's for you to get a duty to go out there and just see what you can do in this world. Amen? It's not just for the preacher. It's for everybody. Amen? Let me just give you a conclusion very fast. A right focus is always an outward focus. Amen? The reason you're edified, the reason you're built up, is so that you can go out there and make an impact in this world. Churches grow because of obedience to the Word of God, not because of modern methods and philosophies. They don't grow because they figure out the certain way of advertisement and all that. They go because they go out and they go door knocking, amen? And God brings in the increase. Missions is where the heartbeat of God becomes the heartbeat of this church. Amen? When you really understand missions, and you really understand these men that lived a long time ago, you realize, man, that's the heartbeat right there. That's the heartbeat. What is missions all about? It's about leaving your comfort zone. Amen? Are you in your comfort zone tonight? You know, the wisest thing you'll ever do is leave that comfort zone. Amen? Just get out there, make a fool of yourself.
Amen.
I mean, just do whatever it takes. Just leave your comfort zone. Leave it behind. Don't stay in the boat. It's about teamwork. We can't do it on our own. It's about teamwork. It's about people praying. It's about seeing something and going, man, I need to be a part of this team. I need to be a team player. Amen? It's about stretching our faith. It's about the value of a soul. It's about going. See, going is the hardest part. You know, it's easy to talk about all the knowledge in the world. It's wonderful. But it's going. It's going out there. Amen? And making a fool of yourself for the cause of Christ. Missions is and always will be the lifeblood of the church. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? If your church never sees the mission field, your church will die. Your church will die. It will die. And you know, churches today, I'm sorry for keeping you a bit long, churches today are dying because they don't believe in missions. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. And thank you for this wonderful, wonderful church. I pray that you'd bless and you'd watch over everybody. I thank you for a wonderful church. In Jesus' name, amen.